I don't know. To me, either you like it or you don't.
Okay.
Because I know nobody that has a middle ground.
Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 50.
50!
And this time we are jumping off of two episodes of Doctor Who, The Impossible Planet and The Satan Pit.
Yeah, I guess this is sort of apropos 50th episode, sort of a landmark. And we've avoided talking about Doctor Who for the better part of 2 years.
Which had its 50th anniversary a couple years ago. So, right, yeah. So it all works out. Yeah.
Wheels within wheels, everything's working.
Yes.
I preface this by saying I'm not a big Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
I'm not a Whovian, whatever they call themselves.
Yeah. Whatever it is they say at the meetings.
Yeah. There's message boards and such.
Sure.
I mean, I watched two episodes. They were good. Uh-huh. They weren't enough to get me hooked on the show.
Right.
It is sort of its own, I don't know. To me, either you like it or you don't.
Okay.
Because I know nobody that has a middle ground. Like, I know people that absolutely adore it.
Yes.
Like John. And I'm just sort of indifferent to it. Like, it's okay. I mean, if it came on TV, I might watch it.
Maybe.
I might flip the channel. I would probably watch it while I had the guide up, seeing what else was on.
Yeah.
You know, and if nothing else was on, I'd probably just keep it on. But, I mean, it was two good episodes. It is sci-fi, so that does appeal to me.
Right. But it's that flavor of sci-fi where the sci is a little morphable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the overarching... you know, theme of Doctor Who is that intelligence and compassion will win out. You know, it's
right.
It's being clever that wins the day every right. episode.
Very British concept.
Yes.
Yeah, and I guess that may be why it doesn't appeal to me. I do like the darker...
you're a brute force guy.
It's not even that. I do like kind of the darker, you know, I like the darker areas of sci-fi where, you know, the universe is a terrible, you know, inhospitable place.
Well, but that's the thing with Doctor Who is they change showrunners and they change the lead every few years. So you get a different feel with each Doctor. So there's, you know, if you like a certain breed of sci-fi, there's probably a Doctor Who run for you.
True. Well, I mean, I like David Tennant.
David Tennant is the brooding doctor.
He's a fine actor. I really enjoyed him in Jessica Jones, which I talked about on the show. And I mean, I guess because I've sort of watched a smattering of Doctor Who, he's probably the Doctor I would prefer.
Yes,
because he is kind of the darker,
because
more brooding.
He's
doctor.
The best one. Yeah,
because he's David Tennant.
Yeah. So having watched these two episodes,
yes,
you got to see the thing that I saw as the complete payoff of the Jessica Jones series, which was like episode 8, where David Tennant, Kilgrave's mother, walks up to him and says, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry."
Yeah.
Because that was the 10th Doctor's line.
Right.
You know, and I was just waiting for Tennant to say it. Up until that point. And then someone said it to him.
Which
and
makes
like,
perfect
whoa.
Sense.
Whoa!
Yeah. Meta!
Yeah. Yeah. Did Dan Harmon write this?
recalling former episodes.
Yeah, just last week.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it, yeah, I mean, it was good. I like I said, I enjoyed the episodes. It was a nice little two-story arc.
Yeah.
Does Doctor Who do like season arcs, or is it all kind of a
or
is it smaller stories within a larger story?
There's usually an overreaching arc. The 11th Doctor is where it's really where Stephen Moffat comes in, and it's really an overreaching arc for the entire season, and at the end, it all kind of clicks into place. Whereas with earlier Doctors, like Tennant, there are things that click into place, but there's not the cohesion of the arc that you get with the 11th Doctor.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm not as familiar. I mean, I know who Matt Smith is.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the newest guy.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Peter Capaldi.
Capaldi is more of, he's more of a crotchety old man.
Okay.
And he kind of brings that into the Doctor, and he's kind of the scary Doctor. He's not necessarily nice about anything, and he's just going to get stuff done. So,
true.
Again, every Doctor brings, every Doctor brings pieces of the former Doctors after a certain point.
Right.
And
it's funny because it reminds me of, I'm a big Star Trek Deep Space Nine fan.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctor is Dax.
Okay.
If you're familiar with the show.
Yeah.
Like, every Dax is sort of their own Dax, but there are pieces of the other Dax, like the previous generations of the Dax host,
right,
that are with them, you know. So, okay. So it's sort of, the Doctor is Dax.
Okay.
And if I explain that to my wife, she may watch the show.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, David Tennant, and a lot of it comes back to what Doctor you were introduced to the series with.
Okay.
So, like, David Tennant, his first Doctor was the 5th Doctor, which was Peter Davidson, who is not the same guy that's now on SNL.
I hope not.
Who had like a cream suit with a piece of celery as a boutonniere. But he draws a lot of his inspiration from...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some... he's an alien. He doesn't get everything right. But he draws a lot of his inspiration for the Doctor from those years. But at the same time brings his own flavor to it.
Right.
Doctor Who was canceled, in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
After the 7th Doctor, actually like midway through a season of the 7th Doctor, they didn't get a proper,
send off
or cut off. And the 7th Doctor was, Sylvester McCoy, who played Radagast in the Hobbit movies.
Okay.
Yeah. So that guy, and that was my first Doctor. And he was kind of an abrasive dick, but in a playful way.
Okay.
So yeah. So, but that was kind of an attempt. McCoy was an attempt to kind of bring it back into popularity after it went very 80s. For several years.
Well, I mean, yeah, it ran through the entire 80s. So.
Yeah, yeah. So it went very 80s, and just kind of, yeah, it lost itself. It got shut down in the early 90s. And I got introduced to it watching it on UNC TV.
Yeah.
North Carolina's educational television, on rabbit ears.
Right.
Because that's what they had. And, South Carolina Educational Television didn't have it. So I was having to use rabbit ears to get it from Asheville. So my introduction to Doctor Who, it was very low
quality
production value.
Yeah.
But I was watching it on such a staticky picture that I didn't really get that. So it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, I guess it really did make a huge comeback. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah. They brought in Christopher Eccleston to be the 9th Doctor to bring it back, and they had this mysterious time in between where there was a shadow war between the Doctor and the Daleks that they refer to, but you never actually see.
Right.
Until the 50th anniversary episode.
And then they
go back, and John Hurt comes in as the War Doctor, which is the interim Doctor.
Okay.
And he is 8.5. And that's when the Doctor did things that made him renounce the name Doctor.
I see.
So he doesn't count that as the Doctor, which is kind of a, you know, retcon thing, right. I think. That's a little confusing, but I'll roll with it. So, but that 50th... The 50th anniversary episode is excellent, but you have to have watched
so much.
You have to have watched so much leading up to it to get everything, because it references everything from basically from the reboot forward. The first two seasons of the reboot are basically the story of Rose Tyler.
I started watching it on Netflix, and I watched the first like two or three episodes of season one, and I was like,
And Eccleston is an acquired taste, I think. And actually, if you watch the Tenant run and then go back and watch the Eccleston run, then Eccleston is better. But, I mean, that first season, Eccleston brings, it's kind of a quirky, but kind of very dark to it. And it works, but it doesn't work as well as Tenet. It doesn't work as well as the emo. But basically, the regeneration after the Time War is the Eccleston regeneration. And the way it works in theory is that every regeneration is a reaction to
what happened, what led to.
Okay. Yeah. So, Eccleston is still kind of this warrior type, you know, kind of still in the Time War. And then when he turns over into Tenant, then he becomes, oh my God, what did I do type thing. And so you end up with the mopey emo David Tennant, who does an excellent job. And there should be a Twitter emo Doctor Who, but we'll stick with emo Kylo Ren.
Okay. Sorry, I'm sort of half Wikipediaing that 50th anniversary special because I may watch it because it seems pretty interesting.
Well, and It was a Matt Smith episode, but they brought back Tenet,
right?
Because while it can cause time paradoxes, they still put the Doctor. There are several friggin' specials where they risk it to bring multiple Doctors into one place because the circumstances are that dire. You know, they always play it off that way.
Of course.
So you end up with Matt Smith and David Tennant in that episode, and they do callbacks to everybody throughout.
Okay.
In fact, the Eighth Doctor was Paul McGann, who was only the Doctor for one Fox movie, which was a U.S. release in like 96, 97.
Yeah, it was mid-90s.
Yeah, and that was their attempt to reboot and push it on in America.
Right.
And, you know, McCann has done like audio, because there's all kinds of books filling in the gaps and all that. Yeah. And so he's done audio versions of the books and stuff like that. So there is Paul McGann Doctor stuff out there, but they put out a kind of like 5-minute prequel to the 50th anniversary. And it had Paul McGann as the Doctor going into the Time War. And you get to really see what Paul McGann could have been as the Doctor.
Yeah.
And I want so many Eighth Doctor episodes that it's not even funny because, you know, in the Fox freaking movie, they made him this Victorian long haired,
right,
weirdo,
very British,
but
yeah,
but in the prequel thing, he kind of more has the Eccleston aesthetic with the shorter hair and kind of the darker clothes, but not quite to the extreme of Eccleston, but it was very much a more stark figure, understanding that he was going into a war that that couldn't really be won. And that's kind of a story arc I would love to see.
Right.
But I don't think it's ever going to be done.
No, probably not. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Well, and the plot device of the war nobody knows anything about was a good thing for bringing in the reboot.
Oh, yeah.
And just having that overlooming thing of, I did this and I killed all of my people.
Yeah.
I am the last surviving one. And then you don't actually, and you never expect to see it. And then in the 50th anniversary, they bring that
you
back.
Get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was interesting. It's, I don't know. I mean, it's got some interesting points, and maybe I just caught it on the wrong spot. And I'm sure when I get caught up with TV, which would be half past never, I may start watching
it. I mean, there are some, most of the time, if you're going to introduce somebody to Doctor Who, you start with Blink. Which is a standalone episode. It kind of sits on its own, and it only has the Doctor as kind of an ancillary character who leaves messages in video. It's like he is trapped in this time without his TARDIS, and he has to get his TARDIS back. But in order to do that, he videotapes stuff that is it has to be seen like 20 years later. And because there's like a cult freaking internet following, he has the transcript of what is said.
Yeah.
so that he can carry on this conversation. So it's yeah, but it's a standalone episode and it's in its own bubble. But it's kind of a horror episode with the Weeping Angels, which is the angel statues, which kind of work like Mario ghosts.
Okay.
If you're looking at them, then they can't move. They're quantum locked. If they're being viewed, but as soon as nobody's looking at them, then they can move. And it just kind of a standalone kind of horror thing with this the statues coming for you. And yeah.
I don't know. And I don't know if it's just the description of that story in the two episodes we watched, but he seems to lose his TARDIS a lot.
It's a reoccurring theme, yeah.
I think he needs to put a GPS on it or
something. Well, he stole the damn thing to begin with. So
that's true. I was just trying to go home.
He stole it, and it broke, and it's stuck looking like a 1960s telephone box.
blue instead of red. It's just funny because I've used like a 1960s British telephone box. But yeah, definitely red. Why is it blue? Did they ever describe
it? Okay. The problem with the chameleon circuit.
So it just bullshits its way around that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the hard science stuff. Like I said,
that's the hard science.
It's kind of loose with the hard science.
There's a problem with the quantum conflagulator. What? Yeah, it conflagulates the quantums.
And you know, it refers to the space-time continuum as wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. That's in Blink. That's just kind of where it is.
It doesn't take that part of it too serious.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun ride. There's no way to guess what the answer is in most episodes because the answer is never presented to you until the Doctor makes it up. You know, not that it's made up to him, but you know, it's all of this information that you don't have, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if that would really bother me or if that would,
It does come off as genuine in the moment. So,
okay. That's fascinating.
And there's almost always a companion, at least one companion traveling with the Doctor because when the Doctor doesn't have a companion, he gets in his own head. And there are some episodes where David Tennant's on his own and he gets in his own head and it goes horribly wrong. And that's how he dies. So it's best if he does not travel alone. And then Matt Smith comes in. And
through the power of Wikipedia.
Yes.
I did not realize Peter Capaldi was in a punk band.
Yes, with Craig Ferguson. Yes.
Which would be the coolest punk band ever.
They're Scottish.
I love Craig Ferguson and punk rock.
And Craig Ferguson is a huge Doctor Who fan. And so was Peter Capaldi. But yeah, there's a Doctor Who episode of Craig Ferguson. And if you have not seen the cold open of the Doctor Who episode of Craig Ferguson, go to YouTube right now. Seriously, stop this episode and go watch it and come back. Should I pause this while you do that?
No, it's okay.
No, seriously. it's freaking amazing.
It comes up quick,
but
the Lost Doctor Who cold open.
It's like 4 minutes long.
Oh. Well, this isn't that long.
Oh. We'll be right back. And now we're back, and now that we've all taken a break to go watch that, because I know you followed instructions, right? Intellect and Romance over Brute Force and Cynicism, which apparently is now going to be the title of the episode.
What else could it be?
Yeah. that Craig Ferguson intro for the Matt Smith episode was
so
freaking
confusing.
Yeah, but beautiful. You know, it's kind of like
it's a glorious clusterfuck.
Yeah, it's kind of more freaking Hitchhiker's Guide than Doctor Who, but you know, Douglas Adams wrote for Doctor Who back in the day. He wrote episodes, so you know, it makes sense. I don't even know where to go from there. We were talking about Capaldi and punk bands, and you were looking up shit on Wikipedia that led us to there.
Yeah, pretty much, mainly just Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
It's in his Wikipedia page. But it, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's a good show. It's got, it's spun off a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of stuff, a lot of like nerd culture calls out to it.
Yeah.
There's always little like hints here and there. But I just find it funny that this, like, because I've seen like some of the old Doctor Who episodes, like these crappily made robots have become this thing.
Like, well, but that falls back to it being a British show instead of an American show, where basically this was running on PBS, but British PBS is way better than American PBS.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the other networks, or they didn't until, you know, the 90s.
Yeah. It was
I think.
BBC 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. And it still is, but now they have ITV and some other options.
Stuff. Yeah.
Not a whole bunch, but some. So their public television developed more than ours did.
Yeah.
By leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, you still had very obviously cardboard sets and crap. And they learned to develop the story enough to keep the interest when the special effects just weren't there.
Right. Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, it reminds me of the original series of Star Trek.
Right.
Because the original series of Star Trek.
Even crappier.
Yeah, but even crappier. But you get what I'm saying.
But it went more than 3 seasons.
It did. But did it go 7 movies?
Well, it depends. Did you count? See, I kind of count the double episodes
as movie,
as kind of a movie. But
yeah, you can't do that.
But like, for they didn't do a final season for Tennant. They did, I believe it's 5 specials, and each special was 1.5 hours.
Okay.
So are those movies?
No, because a lot of.
But
times,
at least the last one.
A lot of times, Star Trek does that. They do those double episodes that want to be like 1.5 hours long, and they'll either put them like mid-season, or they'll dovetail them in between seasons.
But that's what you usually get with Doctor Who, with the double episodes. You'll get 1 mid-season and 1 at the end.
Yeah, and that'll dovetail from season to season.
Sometimes. they actually tend to wrap up the double episode at the end of the season with Doctor Who, but something horrible tends to happen at the end of
course.
Yeah, you know, that's when people get killed and stuff like that. Yeah. So yeah.
No, it's, but yeah, but it does remind me a lot of Star Trek and the fact that, you know, it's, very obviously sort of made on the cheap.
Yeah.
They did learn to develop story and things like that as opposed to just coasting by on cool special effects.
And then the reboot, that you kind of see what they can do with a little more budget.
Right.
Because
it's not like the BBC doesn't have a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, not Hollywood money, but...
Yeah. No, but I mean, more than, like, government-funded BBC had in the...
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's still government-funded.
But they make money on their own now.
Yeah. Well, they make money by selling the rights to other markets. They still don't have advertising.
Right.
So, I mean, it's all global economy. Yeah. You know, they have advertising. BBC America has advertising, but BBC America isn't actually BBC.
It's a channel that just exclusively essentially buys rights from BBC and some other stuff. Well,
yeah, used to be.
You can watch Star Trek The Next Generation.
Used to be exclusively buys things from the BBC. But, I mean, the IT Crowd was on there, and that's an ITV show. Yeah. You know, it's British stuff most of the time.
Yeah, I think it's, I think BBC America now is British stuff and stuff that people who watch British stuff would like.
Yeah.
Like, well, you can watch Star Trek The Next Generation on there.
It's like,
I guess Patrick Stewart being on there makes it British enough.
You know, back when sci-fi was still SCI-FI.
Yeah, when they had the Saturn logo.
It was all science fiction. When they made that transition to SIFI, it kind of did the same thing. Where it doesn't have to be sci-fi, it can be something sci-fi-ish, I guess.
What's on there that isn't sci-fi? Other than like
Sharknado. What do you mean, other than Sharknado?
I mean, technically.
And anything like Sharknado.
Yeah, but I don't know. Those are just movies. I mean, most of their like series shows are sci-fi, though.
Yeah, ish. Well, but don't they have some like, they have like cosplay reality shows and shit like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's sci-fi
adjacent. Yeah.
It's sci-fi adjacent.
Which is S-Y-F-Y, not S-C-I-F-I. Okay. Yes. That's when they made that transition, was when they brought in shit like that.
Okay.
And I do mean shit.
It is shit. Yeah. Who makes the best like costume?
Let's do freaking monster makeup on.
Yeah, that's what show. I was. Yeah, the monster makeup show. Yeah, it's...
which is cool, but it's, I don't know. Put it on Spike or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
which Spike's crap.
Who watches Spike anymore? Yeah, it's.
Oh, they got Ink Master.
Man. What's so good about that? Like, it's
nothing's so good about that.
Here's the thing: the people that think the people on Ink Master are the best tattoo artists in the world, they're the same people that think the people on The Voice are the best singers in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you totally are ignoring the fact that, like,
if you're a singer going on The Voice, then you have exhausted. You either haven't exhausted any avenues.
Right.
Or you've exhausted all of the avenues to get into the business.
You've never had an avenue presented to
you. Yeah, you're either so outside of the business that you don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
Or you have gone through everything and can't get a fucking deal.
Yeah.
Those are the two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And usually it's the washed up people who couldn't get a deal when.
Yeah.
Because
they at least were on the radar at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I mean, it's, yeah. And I mean, an Ink Master is the same way. Now I do know one girl that was on there and she's a fine tattoo artist, but
yeah,
if like Kobe needs a tattoo, he's not going to her. There is a guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that guy doesn't have the need for $100,000 to start up his own shop or whatever.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, that guy.
Not that $100,000 will get you your own shop. No.
That might rent you a closet somewhere. You better hope you have your own equipment.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's not the cream of the crop going on the reality shows, but
no.
But, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. Somebody watches it.
Yeah. Yeah. I put it on when, you know, when the toddler needs to go to sleep. So having something that vaguely keeps my attention but bores him to shit works.
That
kind of goes on that way. I don't, you know, if there's nothing on that keeps my attention, then I end up waking up at 3 a.m. in the freaking chair with a toddler on my lap, and that's uncomfortable for me. Just in general, ends up to an achy day the next day.
Because yeah. We're getting old.
Yeah, some of us more than others.
Yeah, well, should have been born first.
Damn it.
You had to go be born first.
Wibbly wobbly, wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, meanwhile, I'm sitting here waiting for season 3 of Dark Matter to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
well, season 2 just hit Netflix not that long ago.
We proceeded to blast through it in like a month. So
you got to wait like another year.
Well, my wife thought, like our thought, because we didn't know anything about the show. We just watched season 1 and like right as we finished season 1, they put season 2 on. So she thought, well, surely that means season 3 starting up in like January.
No.
June. June or July.
Well, they want to give you time to catch up.
Yeah,
I guess.
Well, now we're waiting for 6 months and trying to find other stuff to watch.
Yeah, I got to the point where there were suddenly zombies, and I haven't gone back. I don't know.
Dark Matter?
Yeah.
In season 1?
Yeah, in season 1.
Push through it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the zombies go away pretty quick.
Well, that's good, because I'm not horribly into the zombies. No. They've kind of played their course.
They never show back up.
But I have to get through season 2 of Man in the High Castle.
And, yeah, that's what I'm on right now.
And apparently I have to watch the OA on Netflix, which is apparently weird, and my wife wants to talk about it, so I have to watch it, damn it.
Whereas we're going lighter. We're starting like Young Justice, the TV cartoon.
Yeah.
It's actually a good cartoon.
Yeah, it is. Actually, have you watched Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated?
No.
You should. It is like the teen take on Scooby-Doo Mysteries. It has an overarching plot. It's Mystery Incorporated is everything that Scooby-Doo should be.
Interesting.
Yes, so it is very good.
There are no Globetrotters.
No, there's no Globetrotters. It's a very good show.
Okay.
You should watch it. If you're going through Young Justice, you can definitely take the time for Mystery Incorporated.
Okay.
Mystery Incorporated is, yeah, it's very good. And it's like 2 seasons. You run through it pretty quickly. So,
watch it then.
We are randomly just spitting out TV shows at this point. So, I guess we can wrap up. Everybody, if you did not pause where I told you to and go watch that Craig Ferguson cold open, do. It is outrageous and beautiful, and you will not regret it, or you will. And do you have anything in mind for next time?
I honestly, I should have been thinking about it, but instead I was cleaning the house, getting ready for Christmas, because today is the one day where my wife is at work and I'm not.
Uh-huh.
At least till later tonight. So I have to like get all of her Christmas stuff done today while she's not home.
Even though she's here for lunch.
Yeah. So I really haven't been thinking about anything. We'll put it on Facebook when I figure it out.
Okay. So yeah. And that'll be first week of the new year, more than likely.
Yeah.
And
hopefully in between Clemson winning the Fiesta Bowl and Clemson winning the national championship, we'll do an episode.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Go sports ball.
Sports ball. Yeah. And me watching a Clemson game is not going to be that's not in the cards. That is not allowed to be the thing.
It's not the thing. We don't do sports ball.
No. If we do sports ball, it's going to be something better than that.
Yeah.
like that ridiculous last display last night. But we already did that one.
Ludicrous.
Yes. Ludicrous display last night. Anyway, we are meandering and just kind of talking just to watch the
time. Yeah, to watch the EQ go up.
Watch the EQ and watch the graph on Audacity. I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram, and you are?
I'm the Joe You Know on Twitter. I'm that Joe You Know on Instagram.
And we hope everybody has a good holiday break. We're going right into it. And
happy Festivus.
Yes. Happy Merry or Merry Happy.
Merry Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
the dean on Community just says Merry Happy. And so Merry Happy, everyone. And we will talk at you next time.
tear down, waste time, write more, kill, toast.
This has been a Southern Geek Podcast.